Good morning, Wake Up HCC. This is HOCO Live, Cris Oviedo, coming to you this rainy Monday morning. It feels like spring out there, and it's funny because I've been saying to my kids, and I've been thinking to myself, if it was a little colder, this would be snow. We would be homebound because we've had rain. The amount of rain that we got, I even had a dream, I think, like going into Friday morning where it was like just torrential rain falling. And Friday was just like that. I think I was hearing what was happening outside. And so I was dreaming in my mind, like I was seeing what was happening outside. And it was just crazy. But it would be snow. But it's just really spring like weather out there. It's beautiful. I'm not complaining at all. So Mother Nature, if you're listening, please keep it going. I'm a fan. And you know, it's the month of love. It's the month of February. We are all thinking about, and I'm wearing red today. If you didn't know, on Friday we were all supposed to wear red to support women's heart health. And you know, I'm still sporting my red. Now this week we're all gonna wear some sort of red or pink or something like that for a very different reason, though. We're thinking about relationships and we're thinking about hearts, but we're thinking of them as in the feeling realm, in the idea of love and celebrating friendship. And we talked about healthy relationships last week with Maya from Hope Works. So I am also thinking about that, but I wanted to take a different note this morning. And I have Carla Johnston here with me today. She is a friend of our show. She's actually going to start coming every month to discuss different health topics here at our station. She is the manager of community outreach and partnerships at the Maryland University of Integrative Health. Welcome back, Carla. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be here.
And, you know, as I said, we're going to discuss yes, heart, and we're going to talk about that muscle that we think every time that we think about loving somebody, but we're going to think of it in a different way, because keeping our heart healthy can mean very many different things. And I think that usually we think of it as, when I think of I'm going to keep my heart in good shape, it means like I'm going to keep it. We go to the love, we go to the feelings, we go to the relationship, right? That's what keeping my heart healthy means, right? I'm taking care of it, I'm taking care of myself, and I'm loving myself by relaxing and by having healthy relationships. And I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. That's really important. And I think that if we really, really think about it, it also becomes part of heart health, you know, in the bigger realm of things. But there's other things that we also need to think about when we're talking about our heart health. We're seeing that one person dies every 37 seconds in the United States from cardiovascular disease. Yes. We're saying that heart disease is the leading cause of death in the USA, and that's across all groups, you know. Usually when you have certain diseases or certain issues that you're looking at, there's a certain group that's maybe being a little more affected. There's another group that doesn't have it, depending on race, depending on color. This one's the one that's affecting everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, men, women, doesn't matter, nationality, race, anything.
Yes.
It's just very, very prevalent. So it's important to understand what really means to have a healthy heart and to go deeper than the relationships and to really look at the muscle, at that one big muscle that it's intimidating when you look at it, when you look at a picture of not that little shape that we have, right, that we write on cards and everything else. But it's this intricate, I don't know, it has a weird shape. It's not the shape that we're used to. It's almost like a pear, at least, or a mango almost, right? And it has little things sticking up, you know, out from it. And those are all of the little intricate things that we can do things to keep healthy.
Agreed.
So, Carla, tell us a little bit about, you know, cardiovascular disease. Help us understand what we're talking about when we're saying that.
Well, I love that you mentioned the word muscle,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like it's easier for us to think about it as a muscle. And with cardiovascular, I like to talk about the cardiovascular health support. What is it that we can do right now? Because I think you made a great point in that a lot of people, when you say that, they think maybe older folks. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing with these statistics is there are risk factors
right.
in early adulthood.
Yeah.
even childhood,
yes,
that can impact us as we get older. And some of those are, as we know, obesity, which puts us at greater risk for diabetes. Mm-hmm. Smoking also is a risk factor. And then, of course, nutrition mm-hmm. and then movement.
You know, I think it's easier for us to understand how nutrition, movement, diet, all of that kind of like ties in. I think that that picture has been painted very clear. Mm-hmm. But smoking is one I think that's still not easy to understand, because I think, or at least the way that I usually think of it is, if I smoke, that smoke's going to my lungs. So I'm thinking lung, right? And that's mm-hmm. going to affect my lungs. And I'm thinking breathing, but I'm not thinking heart.
Heart.
So how does smoking affect your heart health?
You bring up an excellent point, and one that I have a conversation with a lot, and mm-hmm. that is that each of our body systems interconnects with the other body systems. Mm. So as you mentioned, the lungs, which is a prime example, if it's affecting my lungs, it's also affecting the vessels that get to the lungs. Mm. And then you mentioned those arteries and veins coming off the heart, they go directly into the lungs as well. So anything that affects one body system in a grand way or in a substantial way impacts other systems. The other piece of that is, if I am smoking and I'm less active and I'm having some substantial shifts in my ability to get the blood through my body, that is in result going to impact the heart. So I think you make a great point in that sometimes we think that's a lung issue.
Right.
A lung issue, a kidney issue, a heart issue, they're all part of one connectedness.
Right. And we forget that our body is this one machine, right? I like to think of it as a car. It's like your car is working and, you know, everything is, it's moving along. But then if one thing, just one little tiny thing starts giving you trouble, then you can function as well. You might still be able to run. You might still be able to ride. You know, let's say the tire pressure is low, right? You might still be able to go for a little while, but eventually the tire is just going to give unless you go and take care of it, right?
Right.
Either replace it if you need to, or fill it up with air, or, you know, whatever it is that you need to go do and pay attention to it. So, I feel that our bodies are similar in that sense, that if there's something wrong, we're forcing other things to work harder. We don't really realize it.
Right.
We don't notice it. And I've personally experienced this through like physical therapy and things like that, because I've had like back issues and neck issues. One of the reasons why I have my braces, actually, it's because I was having severe back issues. I was to the point where I was getting dizzy very often, all the time. And I went to a dentist and he said, you know, big part of your problems come from your mouth. Mm. You need to fix your bite. And it's proven to me that by fixing my bite, and I'm not saying that my problems have gone away, but I feel relief. I feel a lot better. And I'm sure that that's also affecting, you know, everything else in my muscle, because I was very tense.
Sure.
I was very, very tense. I was my mood was changing because I was never feeling, you know, up 100%, I would say. And something so little, right? Something so little as that wasn't like life-threatening per se, right? Whereas here we're talking about our heart, which is the one, I think, is one of the most important muscles in our body, one that we need to take care, very good care of, because our life really does depend on it.
Well, that's such a great example about your muscles and your nerves. It impacted your quality of life at that point.
Absolutely.
And stress begets stress.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you are in discomfort, I will say, that does impact other things. Little things like you had mentioned relationship and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the time of year where we talk a lot about
right.
relationship. And I expand that definition, too. So in addition to romantic relationships, which certainly Valentine's Day coming up, it's very appropriate. However, there are other relationships that we get to nurture, mm. and that it could be with our families,
right.
with our friends, with our career, mm-hmm. perhaps volunteering. So it's expansive. And what all of that does is it helps us to feel better. It can also increase our ability to manage stress.
Mm-hmm.
So some stress is good. Stress gets, you know, there's
right.
everybody, we want to reduce stress. We want to reduce stress. And for sure, we can talk about that. There are some good stressors. So, for example, if I'm going to go out for a run, I'm actually putting stress on my heart in a different kind of way, just like any muscle.
Mm.
chronic stress where I feel like I'm not able to get any relief, which impacts my quality of life, if it is impacting my ability to get nourishment, if it's impacting my ability to get sleep or some relaxation or just to be able to think, then that's where it kind of tips the scale over. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you talk about like these extraneous things, right? Mm-hmm. The support, the relationship, even being outside. You know, as you had mentioned, it's raining and it's warm. And this is the time of year where it's super cold.
Right.
Typically, we get a lot of snow.
Right.
And so sometimes I'll talk to people and say, well, have you noticed anything outside? You know, just that 1 minute of being outside and noticing something can also bring us right back to where we are and then feel perhaps less stressed.
You know, and I really like that you said that we think of stress as a negative thing. It's also, I know we think of fat as a very negative thing, but we need to understand, and that's part of the reason why we're going to start this partnership with Carla, to really talk about these things, because it's important to understand that some stress is good, and we actually need, as you were saying, you know, I mean, you want to stress your muscles in a way that they will work harder for you and better for you, right? So to understand and be able to see that and manage it better, I think really opens our eyes and opens possibilities also. Same thing as fat, you know, fat, we tend to say, don't eat fatty food and stay away from oils and this and that and the other. And our body actually needs some type of fat, right?
Yes.
And there's good fat and there's bad fat. And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so fat, you're right. I mean, we have come from a generation of fat-free and mm-hmm. and that kind of piece. And as we've talked about many times, diet is a very specific and unique thing. However, there are omega-3s in fat mm-hmm. that actually support brain health, that mm-hmm. actually support heart health, support all functionality in the body. Just as
right.
I mentioned, each of our body systems, our physiological systems are connected. So is food. So one food doesn't do one thing. So
right.
one food may have the omega-3s and might also have some vitamins and minerals in it. Avocado is a great example of that. So, yes, I think sometimes we tend to lump things in these big categories
right.
and say this is bad or this is good. And depending on that person, and as you mentioned, it could be age, it could be what mm-hmm. what chronic diseases they may or may not
right.
have, their ability to be active, their ability for their body to tolerate that. There are fats that are essential for us functioning well. So I love that you brought that up because I think there's still a lot of confusion out there about that.
And I think that as long as we don't eat fatty food, then we're going to have good heart health.
Yeah.
And as we're learning from Carla here, that's not necessarily the case.
Now, a fried cheeseburger mm-hmm. is very different than an omega-3 that you might
exactly.
get from an avocado or that
yeah.
you will get from an avocado or salmon.
Right.
So there are degrees of it
mm-hmm.
and also moderation.
Right.
So if that's the sustainable part of my diet,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to feed our hearts.
And, you know, the other thing that I love that you just brought up is, you know, if you eat fried cheeseburgers 5 days a week, then, yes, you're putting yourself at a higher risk. But the other thing that I want you to keep in mind is that one fried cheeseburger, if you eat that every, I don't know, 6 months, once a year, something like that, that's not going to break it for you, you know? So we tend to think that I can't have my chocolate cake. I'm not going to do it because it's bad for me, right? Or I'm not going to have my sweets. And it's almost like we're punishing ourselves, right? And because we are looking at it as a negative instead of really embracing, you know, all of the colors of the rainbow that come in our food that we have and make our nutrition really work for us, right? We can still enjoy a little bit of everything, but that's the key, is like, how much of this am I having in the big picture so that it's not bad for me, but it's actually, you know, helping me have a healthy, nutritious diet that I can actually enjoy.
And I think bringing up chocolate this time of year is really, really appropriate. And I love what you said. So there are a couple of things there. So if I'm going to have that piece of chocolate cake or like this time of year, a piece of dark chocolate,
mm-hmm.
instead of having it and then feeling guilty about it and then worrying about it, I'm not really enjoying it.
Or going to the gym for 3, 4, 5 hours just because I ate that one piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
It's like we're punishing ourselves. And
yeah.
if it feels very, very negative.
It does.
Yeah.
And that does show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are going to make your mind up to put a limit on it, so I'm going to have 2 pieces of that dark chocolate rather than I'm going to sit here and rifle through the whole bag,
mm-hmm.
then there's a difference with that. And what I'm going to eat, I'm going to enjoy.
Right.
Because there are actually some antioxidants in dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to your point, figuring out what's best for you and then finding that enjoyment and then giving yourself that treat, giving yourself permission to enjoy it. Now, if that becomes something that you're doing constantly, then that might be another conversation that you might be having with yourself. However, I absolutely agree with you. I think the all or nothing doesn't really help any of us, and it doesn't really nurture us in any way. It just adds to the stress. If I'm constantly worrying about what it is I'm eating, then that's really not any benefit at all.
Right. In my opinion, it's you're causing more stress to yourself, and it's not sustainable, because at some point you're just going to break up and say, you know what, I'm done with this. This is too much work. I'm just going to eat. People say, I'm going to die one day anyway. So, So we take this negative connotation on, and it's like, well, everybody's gonna die, so I might as well just, you know, whatever, it doesn't mind, I'm gonna die of something, so if it's food, then so be it. And I think that that's a really negative way of looking at it, because food is our fuel. Food is really meant to help us work better, and it's all out there for us to enjoy.
Yes.
And as you were saying, and I love what you said right there, it says, you know, it's the conversations that you're having with yourself around it and understanding how that helps you, how that affects you, because there's certain foods I know, for instance, like if I eat beans too late in the day, I'm not going to be able to sleep because my stomach is just completely upset with me, right? So if we listen to our bodies really do tell us, it's like, okay, you can enjoy that, but not after this time, because if you enjoy it after this time, I will feel it, you know?
And that's a prime example of how different foods affect different folks. And food also should be enjoyed. So it is nourishment and it should be enjoyed. The other piece of it is, it's the best way to get a do-over. So if I've had, you know, it's a Sunday, it's a rainy Sunday, and I'm just not really paying attention to what I'm doing, the next meal I get to what I call do-overs. I get to decide what it is I want to do. Do I want to rein some of that behavior in and then figure out where I am? Am I going to add something new that's going to make me, you know, get out of that boredom? You know, sometimes I feel like we eat the same things over and over and then we get into a rut. And this is the great time, you know, as we think about heart health, what are some things, and actually any fruit and vegetable out there for most people is great. So that, and that's relatively easy to add. And like I've said, a couple of different ways, when you go into the grocery store, first, usually the entrance is where all the beautiful fruits and vegetables are, all of the colors, all of the varieties. What a great way to just say, you know what, when I go in, I'm going to pick one new thing. And there's so many people around, everything on the internet on how to prepare things. It's a great way to try new things. And so by trying new things, we reduce, we can do, reduce stress, and we can also maybe find something that we didn't think we'd enjoy, but we actually enjoy.
And that can lead, you know, to better health in general, and to kind of reel the conversation back to heart health. And the reason why we're talking about diet here and the reason that we're talking about exercise is because, as Carla said at the beginning, you know, some of the leading risk factors are obesity, lack of physical exercise, lifestyle choices. We talked about smoking, drinking. It's another one that plays there. But I want to talk about genetics, because genetics is sometimes understood as, oh, well, I'm predisposed, right? I am doomed, kind of say, right? And it's like, why would I even bother taking care or looking at my heart health when I know that I'm already predisposed? That's just the way my body works, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, so what I would say to that are, genetics are one part of all of those inputs that we just talked about. So lifestyle choices, reducing stress, physical activity, sleep, nutrition, hydration. All of those are inputs into what make us us. And genetics is certainly a factor in that. However, it is not the only factor. So I may have a high risk for a genetic disposition for cardiovascular disease. And I don't have any control over genetics. That's the one piece that I'm bringing with me as I'm born. The pieces that I do have impact on are all of those other things that I mentioned. So if I'm eating, now they're saying heart healthy plans, such as fruits and vegetables, as you had mentioned, you know, those quality fats, nuts and seeds, you know, a diverse diet. If I'm sleeping well, if I'm not running on 2 hours of sleep all of the time, if I'm not using coffee and caffeine to kind of get me going because I'm running out of energy, if I'm just simply too tired, because for me, lack of physical activity is not always just because people don't want to do it. It's because a lot of times they're just tired. And so if we can figure out other ways of getting that moving, then we can start adding it. And as you and I have talked about before, small steps matter.
Right.
So for example, if I'm going in somewhere, I may park at the furthest parking space and add a couple of more steps. Right. I may take the stairs. So all of those things add up. And then once you do that, then you find you might start sleeping better. And then you find that now that you're sleeping better and moving, you will try some of those vegetables because now you have the space.
Right.
When you're outside walking, instead of running, you may take a moment and just see outside what is out there. Take a deep breath. All of those things kind of add up, and I would say are helping to mitigate some of those genetic risk factors.
And I love that you said that, you know, because we are talking about things that can almost feel like responsibilities, right? But you said there, just take a moment and pause. And I can't tell you how many times just recently I've come to see something and I'm like, oh, when did that get there?
Right.
And it's like, no, it's been there all this time. It's me who wasn't noticing it.
Right.
And I drive through here every day, or I've gone through here so many times. And I've just, because we're in just go, go, go mode, that we don't take that time to just enjoy. And so it's important to take that stress and lift that stress a little bit off. You know, it's important that and that's, you know, there's memes out there that say you have 24 hours and then there's like a 300 list of things that you need to do.
Right.
In those 24 hours, right? And I think that what we forget is that these are just suggestions. These are just, you know, ways that you can prevent many diseases, that there's a huge list, as I said, 300 to 1,000, you know, things out there that you will hear, this is good, this, you have to do this, and you have to make sure you drink this much water, and you have to make sure you get this many hours of exercise, and you have to make sure you eat this many fruits and vegetables, and right, you have a list of things that you have to do in order to achieve perfect health. And what I think we forget is that we are not aiming for perfect here.
Right.
We're aiming for good quality lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we're looking for the ways that feel right for us, the things that we can do in our life today. And maybe today you can do, out of those 1,000 suggestions out there, one.
Exactly.
And that's good enough.
Well, and the one you choose is the one that typically is something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that before.
Right.
So you're exactly right. With so many things on the list of what you have to, I mean, how many of us get excited when we have to do something? We do, however, if it's something that I might want to do.
Exactly.
And I also, you bring up such a great example of when we're busy, we're rushing, rushing, rushing.
Mm-hmm.
The ironic thing is, if we stop and take a breath every once in a while, we actually feel better and can get more things done.
We really do.
So there are a lot of people that say, I don't have time to rest, or I don't have time to relax. So there was an exercise that I had many, many years ago that someone suggested to me, and I still use it to this day. And that is, every time I hit a traffic light, I take a deep breath. It doesn't impact my ability to concentrate on traffic. It doesn't impact my ability for anything. It just calls me to, okay, this is just a reminder to stop. So instead of getting frustrated, especially when you're running late and you hit that red light, it's like, it's a reminder to breathe.
Right.
And just like stop signs, or when you're walking along, you know, sometimes people say, every time I see the crack in the sidewalk, I'll take a breath. It's just one more, and they all add up. And that's something that builds on itself, because the less you do that and the more you keep pushing, that's also where you're using things to kind of help prop you up. Like for some people, smoking, for some people, caffeine, for some people, like fried food, just because it's easy and quick rather than taking a minute and enjoying where you are.
Right. We are running a little tight on time here, but I don't want to leave our conversation today without talking about everyday strategies, like the one that you just gave us. And I absolutely love that. Just remember to breathe. You know, it's funny because when you're in an exercise class, for instance, you're going, and then suddenly the instructor says, breathe, and you go, oh, and you feel all this tension that you were holding in this class that's supposed to be relaxing.
Yes.
But you were like so stressed in it.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, yeah. So we need that reminder to breathe.
Yeah, and all of us have different practices.
Yeah.
And when we stop to breathe, we're actually belly breathing. Mm. So the air is going through our entire body. When we tend to get stressed, we keep air up top.
Yep.
And as you
this
mentioned,
right here.
It's in our shoulders.
It's your shoulders. It goes forward. And I've been kind of like being a little more mindful about it and just rolling them back. And being like, okay.
Yes.
Send it all back. Let it go.
Right.
And breathe.
Right.
And breathe. But it takes intention. You have to be very intentional about it. You have to be thinking about it. You have to be mindful about it, because for me, it's something that I've just realized that I do.
Yes.
So now that I'm realizing it, it's like whenever I feel like this, I'm like, okay, no. Let's move those shoulders back. Let's prop them back again.
And sometimes it's easier said than done.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
So if I'm in the middle of finals and I'm in the middle of 15 papers and I have deadlines coming up, it can seem counterintuitive to stop and breathe.
Yep.
However, that breath with heart feeds the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So just by those small minutes, those small moments, they do add up. And as you mentioned, you'll notice some tightness, or you'll notice that you haven't moved in a while. You've been sitting in the chair for 2 hours and you hadn't really realized it. Or if you're hungry, it may be that you are thirsty. And I love that you mentioned with hydration, you know, heart health is hydration.
Mm.
And that doesn't always mean water. So for some people, it could be broth-based soups as a meal.
Mm.
That also is hydration with some ways to get vegetables. So it doesn't, as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be so laborious and so time-consuming and another thing to do. After a while, they do build on each other.
So other little quick strategies that we can implement every day. We said breathe. So let's remember to take a breath here and there.
Breathing is one. I say a lot of cases we are holding our breath, or we're constantly feeling like we're not getting enough done. We're in our heads a lot. And what breath does also is calls it back to, as you mentioned, where we are feeling stressed.
Mm-hmm.
What it also does is it just gives us a minute to think. So I'm not being robotic. And by that I mean going to, and we talked about enhancing the diet. It could be that if I pull into a parking space and I take a breath, you know what? I could park a little further instead of it seems so overwhelming to have to do it. I think also connectedness, you know, having someone that you can talk with, someone that you can enjoy with. Social support is really sometimes not talked about as much with health. And social support is hugely important, whether it's through network of friends, whether it's through network at work, whether it's through family. That also supports us. And I would say that's good medicine for our heart.
Oh, absolutely. In Africa, and I might quote this wrong, but I know that there was a person who was depressed. And, you know, the wise person of the tribe came and sat with them and listened to them. And they were like, but you need to give him medicine. And he was like, no, all he needs is to be listened to. All he needs is attention. And we forget that seriously, that human connection is, it's medicine, as you were saying, for our heart and for our souls.
And you need to breathe to listen. So I can't be rushing listening to you because I'm not listening.
Yeah.
And perhaps you're not going to feel heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it is... Valentine's Day is on Friday, and I know we're all concerned, and it can bring stress because, you know, maybe you don't have somebody. Maybe you're not sure what to give to that somebody special. Maybe you're planning this grand thing and you're not finding the right reservations, this and that and the other. I invite you to just take this conversation and realize that to feed your heart, both physically and spiritually, it just takes the right intention. It can take one little tiny thing. It doesn't have to be, as you were saying, elaborate or big or grand or anything like that. And quite honestly, it's more important to do it daily than to do just one huge thing once a year and that's it and forget the rest of the year.
Agreed.
So, you know, this Valentine's Day, this month of February, think of your heart. Think of taking good care of your heart in all possible ways. Enjoy the time with your loved ones. Really be present. That's the biggest gift that you can give somebody, in my opinion. Just being present, really being there for them, putting away all distractions and just, as Carla was saying, really connect and really listening to somebody. So not only is good for that other person, it's also good for you because you're breathing and you're taking care of your own heart that way.
So, I love that, yes.
Carla, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a wonderful Monday. Take your umbrellas with you because it's going to rain all day. And remember to just breathe. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.